Welcome to Surfcast. We're glad you joined us again today, and we're pretty excited about this episode and our guest. Now, I looked in the dictionary just so I would be accurate, right, Christian?
Oh, sure.
Are you ready? And here's a definition of a prodigy. A person, especially a child or young person, have an extraordinary talent or ability, a marvelous example, something wonderful or marvelous. Now, to those people who know our guest, when we call his name, I think they think he's a pretty cool guy, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good definition of our guest that's going to be joining us in the studio today.
And so who is in the studio today with us?
Today we have Mr. Golden Madume.
And Golden joined Lee University when he was a student when he first came in 2007 and then joined the team somewhere in the 2013-14 range as a full-time employee. He has been working in our Culinary Career Office for a good while. That's where I got to see most of his work. And then also recently, he shifted over to the Center for Student Success. So even our, all guy kind of everything in the house, Tyler, actually had Golden as a instructor in one of his classes. Right, Tyler? You can't really hear Tyler, but he's waving at us and saying, yeah, that's cool. So, hey, guys, we're going to be right back with our conversation with Golden. Well, you know, let's just talk about that for a minute. Golden Madume. There's another
Madume.
Way to. There you go. Hey, let's just agree. We're going to call him Golden. That's what everybody else does. Are you
Golden,
ready?
That's right.
Our good friend Golden. We'll be right back. And we're back. Golden, welcome to Surfcast. I am glad you are with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, what I didn't say on that little introduction in the front end was that actually you acquired your bachelor's and your master's both at Lee University.
Yes.
And you are full-time here, man, making a difference every day in students' lives, right?
Yes, we are trying. Yes, all of that.
Well, I think your track record has been pretty successful in that.
Thank you. This
is your first podcast interview, I think, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm glad you chose us.
Absolutely. It's great to be here. What a great place to start.
Yeah,
yes.
You got it. Well, Christian is with us, and Christian and I, in anticipating this conversation with you, we went all the way back to her freshman year, and she shared a story about whenever you came to her Gateway class and talked. So we're going to kind of shift over to Christian and let her get this conversation started with us today as she goes back and gets a little bit nostalgic with the memories from her freshman year.
Yes, that's right. I remember way back to 3.5 years ago, a lifetime ago, I, as a wee freshman, sat in my Gateway class, and my dear Gateway professor, the one and only Rochelle Mayberry, told us that we would have a couple faculty members coming to speak to us about some services offered at Lee. And Golden, you came to visit my class, actually. And I really did not expect to be super inspired or emotional that day, because I just thought we were going to hear some staff members speak about their offices. But you came and you actually told us a little bit about your background, and about how you wound up at Lee, and about what your Lee journey has been like. And it was so ridiculously inspiring. I actually have thought about it several times since then. So I would love if you'd be comfortable sharing a little bit of that with our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. Well, my background goes back to 2006, 2007. I remember being in high school and thinking about what my next step would be. And the idea was, I always knew I wanted to help people. That was my motivation for coming to college. And very quickly, my parents were like, you should be a doctor. And because they wanted me to be rich and not come home and be a bother to them. So I started out pre-med biology here at Lee, quickly realized that I don't like being in a hospital. I don't like seeing blood. So that made me have to stop and think about what next. So getting to talk about my strengths and harmony and developer really allowed me to reassess how I want to help people. Because I think we all share, everyone listening to us right now can share in that passion of we want to help people, just trying to figure out how. So psychology was the next best fit for me. And I was able to take that into counseling and now combining counseling, coaching, and teaching together to get to where I am today. So
how did you actually get to Lee? So you came here when you were 16 years old,
mm-hmm.
right? So can you give us the story of your transition from Nigeria, where your homeland, to now coming to the States? And what was that like to actually be in a college classroom at 16 years old? What
was
that like?
It was definitely interesting. I can tell you a lot of the international students, especially from Nigeria, can tell you one of the funniest experience being here is walking around campus and having people smile at you. It's so different. It's just such a Tennessee thing. And I remember thinking it was odd.
It's a South thing.
Yeah, that's right, y'all.
I remember thinking it was odd, but now I do the same thing quickly. Like a year after that, I was in the same boat, doing the same thing that were different and new for me. Coming to America, so to speak, no pun intended there for all the fans of the Coming to America movie, was fun for me. I'd always known that I wanted to get my education outside of Nigeria just to have that open experience. A lot of Nigerians in our culture embraces exploring. We are big adventurers. Anywhere in the world you go to, you find Nigerians there. So that aspect has been a part of the expectation for me coming to college. So I searched for faith-based, you know, schools, because I grew up in a Christian household. I wanted to have a similar experience. And so Lee popped up. Lee gave me a scholarship for my freshman year based on my SAT scores. And so that was such a benefit and such a blessing to have. So I took it as a sign from God that I was supposed to be here. And it's been great since then, and made so many connections to supportive faculty and students, and just built so much community here so far.
Yeah, Golden, that's awesome. You talked a little bit in your story about how you, after arriving at college, quickly realized that what you thought you were here for is not actually what you felt called to and what you were passionate about. And I know for a lot of students, that's really what college is for them. It's discovering what your passions and what your calling is. So what do you think are some tips, I guess, that you can give students that are kind of having a hard time figuring that out? You know, what did that look like for you? How did you realize what you actually felt called to? And how can other students that aren't quite sure what their passions are kind of figure it out a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I think we're always building that as we go. One of the big things to sort of like a starting point would be take a minute to listen to yourself. Coming to college, I had my parents' opinion and their vision and their dream for me, which is great. We love parents. We love mom and dad. They're amazing. Okay, so no disrespect there, but they had their dreams and opinions and wishes for me, and they had sort of put that on me. And so it forced me and put me in situations where I was forced to confront what did I want. And it took some time. So we're talking about the story that started in 2007 and had moments through 2008, 9, 10 up till now. So it took a long time, but knowing my strengths, so the strengths assessment that we did in our Gateway class and is still available to students was a big tool and an avenue for me to begin the conversation into exploring myself. So knowing myself first and being able to sit with, just knowing yourself doesn't solve the problem, but sit with the tension of, okay, I know myself now, so that helps me understand what I like and don't like, and begins the conversation and opens the door for you to keep finding other things that align with that. So know yourself, connect to people who are in similar fields. So talking to psychology professors here at Lee was so helpful, very helpful. Using the resources of the Center for Calling and Career was also very helpful for me in taking that knowledge and turning it into action. So it's so easy to reflect and know yourself but not do anything with it. So know yourself and then take that knowledge, connect with other people, get advice, get coaching, get mentoring, and turn that into some type of action. And that still is just the beginning of putting you down the right route.
Yeah, Golden, you mentioned something that I think is really important and is really relevant to a lot of college students, especially those coming from success-driven backgrounds, your parents' desires versus your desires. A lot of times in college, you know, like, okay, we found that calling and we found the passion and we found the thing that, you know, we want to do and the thing that inspires us. And then we tell our parents and it's not what their plan was for us. And sometimes that can be a really hard thing, like you said, between trying to please your parents or please your mentors or the influences in your life that you don't want to disappoint, and then really recognizing what your calling is. I and a lot of my other friends in the SOR kind of dealt with this. I'm planning on pursuing mission work, and it was a total shock to my parents when I told them that. And there was a little bit of back and forth there about, you know, like, oh, you won't make a lot of money, or like, that's not what we thought you were going to do. And that can be a really hard thing to walk through. So if you don't mind sharing with us, what did that look like for you, and how can other students dealing with the same thing kind of start to overcome that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's a fantastic question. And this is the part of these types of conversations where the inner counselor in me comes out. I just can't help but feel it, because it's such a vulnerable experience, such a vulnerable process, very emotional, because it has to do with you and there's so many unknowns and there's a lot of uncertainty. So for me, here's what that process looked like. So for the longest time, my parents had built this imagery of Golden, the doctor, the future doctor. So, and then passed it off to me, and I had this imagery of me in a lab coat being this doctor that represented the community and made the family proud. So my background and culture had that whole thing where you had to do something to make your family proud and represent the family name really well. And we all have that in different cultures. We have that in different ways. And so there was this imagery that was built up for me. So with realizing that my strengths were pointing me in a different direction, my desires, my interests, what I did well naturally was pointing me in a different direction, I literally had to go through like a mourning process where that imagery of the future Dr. Golden had to sort of die away and be let go of, so that I could embrace a period of uncertainty and then eventually move forward to embracing this future picture of me as a counselor, teacher, speaker, connector, all these other things that were not yet clear at the time. So for me, it really did feel like a death kind of process. And then talking with my parents and helping them through that process as well. So they were frustrated, not with me, but with having to say goodbye to something that they had planned for so long. So I had to kind of help them and go along with them as they grieved the loss of, oh man, my son who we've invested so much into is not going to be a doctor anymore. What then is he going to do? I don't know. So let's grieve through that process together. So it was some time. It was a 2-year, 3-year period. And eventually, once I was in my new major, taking psychology classes, doing service projects I want to shout out Dr. Qualiana. She did such a great job helping us connect service to our major. Having those opportunities helped me see how I could be this future professional in psychology and higher ed and student development. When my parents saw me become happy and learn and grow, they also were able to come along with that and be a part of the journey. So it's tough. It really is tough, and it's a process, but you can do it, and you can come through that.
So Golden, what advice do you have for students that are sitting here and they're kind of in this dilemma? Now, you've talked about this quandary between being able to choose what you feel like you're supposed to be doing personally while embracing and honoring, you know, the encouragement and the cheerleading that you get from parents and friends and mentors and advisors and all of the above. But there was a shifting moment. There was a shifting moment, apparently, and you talk about it, when you finally had to, as you said, you know, let a dream that someone else had for you, you know, you had to mourn that away, help them do the mourning, right? Mm-hmm. Where did it start clicking for you when you knew, was there a particular event, an activity? Mm-hmm. Did you have a dream in the middle of the night that woke you up that said, you know, this is what I need to be doing with my life? How do students get to the place that they can hear clearly that call to be doing and operating and living and working in a field that is really what they're supposed to be doing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Can you kind of speak to that a little bit? Because you talked a little bit about the struggle, a little bit about the competing interest, right?
Yeah.
How do you actually then move from that struggle to, this is where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So for me, two things kind of stand out with that. So the first thing that I'll say is the signals that let me know that I was on the wrong path, so to speak. I know wrong path is a little bit loaded. It's not always wrong, maybe just not the right fit for you. For me, trying to be a doctor, going through pre-med, the first signals to me were I was my poor performance in class. I got to a point where I was failing for the first time. I'd always been a decent student, not the best, but always succeeded through high school.
You're so humble.
So I'd always succeeded through high school. So coming to college and freshman year was okay. And then sophomore year, I was getting deeper into the more major pre-med specific classes. So failure was a good teacher at okay. that point. So having to fail for the first time and deal with that was a good signal. I feel like God was speaking to me through the failure to say, hey, something might not be right here. You might need to invest more effort or totally change your path. So that was my first signal to say that something is not right. And that signal that something is not right is also important to point you in the right direction. So for me, earlier back in high school, I had a moment where I also went to a faith-based private high school back home. So we also had things similar to chapel, kind of like we have chapel here at Lee. And so we had devotion time. The person who, a senior high school student who was supposed to lead devotion, was sick. And at the last minute, they pulled me in to lead devotion for the class. And that was the first time where I was forced to be on stage and speaking without any preparation, and it came so naturally to me. I was maybe 13 at that time, 13, 14. I went to a private boarding school, so we had a lot of time there. So with that, I was reminded in the moments where I was failing as a science student, as a pre-med major, I was reminded of, okay, I'm failing here. What are some things that I do well? And my memory was triggered to back then in high school where I was in front of people and speaking and enjoying it so much. So I would say for people who are navigating that, be reminded of other times in the past where you've done something that was just fun, where time went by and you didn't even realize it, or you felt like you were in the flow, or you were so happy and experienced a lot of joy. Dig through your memory or recent old memories or recent memories to find what are some things that I actually enjoy, because that could be the first clue to push you down the right path. And it's still just the beginning, and it's okay to be at the beginning. I think college is a great time to begin. You don't have to finish the story right now.
So I'm enjoying this conversation, because I think what you're doing is now you're building us this idea that, you know, everybody has a dream. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have dreams for us. Mm-hmm. You know, but we have to identify what is really our call. What is really the area that we need to commit our life to? And obviously, I think you have found that. You begin to talk a little bit about, you know, this is how you identify it, you know, both from my own awareness. Now, I did want to ask you a question, because you were not lazy when you were in pre-med, right? You were still applying yourself. Yes. You just were not able to get to the level of the learning relationship that you had been accustomed to. And then, you know, you talk about, okay, well, I have this aha moment, right? So Christian's getting ready to graduate, just like a lot of other students are.
I am.
Can you believe that? Sad, Christian. I hate it. Well, I mean, I hate it. I'm happy for you, but sad for us. But so I know that, again, before we had the conversation, she had a lot of questions about the future. You know, what does it look like? How do we get there? So I'll shift over and let Christian kind of steer us back now for just a minute as you kind of speak into the future for some students who might be listening to this episode, or maybe people who are in the middle of their current career, you know, who might be thinking, you know what, I really need to be doing what I'm supposed to be called to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a question on a lot of juniors and seniors, or really maybe even people that are at the beginning of college, are wondering, like, okay, cool, like, I found my calling and I know what I'm passionate about and it's going to be great and awesome and I'm going to make a difference. But how? I think there's a lot of practical questions that are kind of left unanswered, especially in really encouraging and empowering communities like Lee University. I feel as though I've been constantly, like, poured into and motivated and, like, really told that I can make a difference, and I believe that. But now I'm kind of getting to the point of, okay, practically, I am graduating in just a few months, and I don't quite know what I'm doing afterwards. I don't really know how to start making that difference that I want to. So what are some kind of practical steps for people that might be nearing the end of their college career, or starting to enter the workforce, that aren't really sure what to do next?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question. So if you're like me, we love the connection, the conversation, the emotional side, and sometimes we may suffer on the practical. So I like to talk through that. I do this a lot with the students in my internship seminar class. We talk about networking. And networking sounds like a dirty word. It sounds so businessy. It sounds so cold. It sounds like Wall Street. So I used to have that opinion of networking, where it felt so like Shark Tank. So, but it really is valuable to network, because it forces you to start where you are. So to my students and to everyone listening, I always recommend, start where you are. Don't always assume that whatever you're meant to do will only happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm not being paid to say this. I realize where I am, but I'll tell you, like I mentioned earlier, getting involved in the community with service projects can be a great way to begin to network, to serve, to practice that thing that is your calling, to get practical into it. That really builds up your current experience and prepares you for the future. Like I said, through my psychology major during my undergrad days, we did a couple projects with the Boys and Girls Club through Dr. Kualiana, and that was just fantastic, an experience to be a psych major approaching senior year and seeing what child development and resources in the community look like. So network through your current service opportunities, network with faculty and staff, have those conversations, go out to coffee or the cafeteria for lunch, talk to them about, okay, what would be the next best step that I can take? Work on your resume, go to the Center for Calling and Career, build a resume, have that be reviewed, practice interview questions with mentors or whoever is available to you, and reach out to people. There's always that concept of 6 degrees of separation, right? There's always someone in your current network, friends, uncles, friends, moms and dads, or siblings, cousins that are in a job or in a company or in some type of organization or network that you might be interested in. So don't underestimate Aunt Christy over in Alabama, because she might know some people that you could be connected to right now for a job shadowing experience, for an internship experience, or for a job opportunity. So there's a lot that's available to us right here, right now. You can start where you are.
So how do you do that without them thinking that maybe Aunt Christy I haven't talked to in 6 years, but now I'm going to try to network with her, you know? So what do you do in a situation like that?
That's very fair. And that's a very common concern with my students that I've worked with through the Center for Calling and Career, my class, and even now through coaching. Our environment kind of caters to being very humble and very proper. And I get that. I assure you, a lot of the professionals, and you can speak to this too, know that this is part of the process.
Sure.
We didn't get here on our own. I got to the Center for Calling and Career through the support of Stacy, who was the director at the time, and she believed in me enough to give me an internship. And then while I was on the internship, I maintained that relationship with her, worked hard, and the opportunity for a job came up right after that. So we're familiar with it. Aunt Christie is familiar with it. Everyone who is a professional right now, they're comfortable with the fact that the next generation is getting ready to join the workforce, and they're prepared to offer advice, offer networking opportunities, answer questions, and be of help, because they know that they were helped when they were in your shoes. So it's not too much of a shock to them. Be afraid to ask.
Right. Over the years, I've interviewed a lot of people, and I have students all the time. You know, I want to work in the Leonard Center. It's a great place to work, right, Christian?
It is.
And they always want to work in the Leonard Center, you know, and my common answer to every one of them, you know, is send me a resume. Yeah. And sometimes I get this just staring look back, you know, like, well, I don't have enough of work experience to send you a resume, right?
Yeah.
So can you speak to that? I know that Tyler actually said to you at the onset of this episode, you know, talked about his resume after being one of your students, you know, was kind of commented that his recent job he applied for, he's leaving us as well. I don't know what's happening, but, you know, they commented on how excellent his resume was. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that on a practical side for just a few minutes to talk about, you know, even though you might be a freshman, you know, sophomore, junior, senior, grad student, whatever, when's the right time to begin this process of preparing for that potential upcoming interview?
Absolutely. So as far as time goes, I think as a freshman, if you're the typical freshman that comes in the fall of a year, the first summer of your freshman year going into sophomore year might be a great time to do an internship or some type of job shadowing experience, or even volunteer at home or here around campus or elsewhere that you might find an opportunity, because that really helps you test and confirm if you really like this or if you want to keep moving forward with it.
Right.
Students are always concerned, okay, how do I get the opportunity if I have limited experience? And my question goes back to the same thing with networking. Everybody started from somewhere. Everybody started from ground zero. So the people you're applying for with for jobs with, they know that you have to start somewhere, and this might be the first opportunity. So there's no judgment or shame with having limited experience. Last night, I was actually with the with the senior athletes, we were talking through graduation and preparing for life after graduation and working on your resumes. And our athletes, talented individuals that, you know, contribute so much to our campus, they're full-time students and they're full-time athletes. And a lot of them haven't had time for jobs or internships just because of the athletic schedule. However, there's so much in their education, in their skills, in their involvements, like their athletic teams. They have so much skills in teamwork, in collaboration, communication, working under pressure, working with authority that they can outline on their resume. So even when you have limited experience or no experience, there are other things like your strengths, your skills, your interests, your education that really do paint a compelling picture of what you can do. Your volunteer experience as well can be very helpful to help an employer understand what you can do and how you can contribute to their team. So please move forward. Come to me. Come to the Center for Culinary and Career. We can help with drafting a resume to support a student in getting that first gig.
Yeah, so naturally what follows building your resume is sending it in and then having the dreaded interview. And saying that word makes me start to sweat a little bit. I hate interviews. They make me really nervous. And I know that
this
lot of...
This is an interview right here.
Okay, but like, you guys are trying to hire me right now. I'm here. I feel welcomed. Going into an interview as a young adult that doesn't have much experience in the professional world can be very intimidating. And I know that you know that. Yeah. So what will you say to students that come to you that are kind of freaking out about like, I have an interview like next week, I don't really know what to do. How do you help students prepare for interviews, and what can students do to poise themselves in a charismatic and a professional way while they're in an interview?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. If I forget to say this, practice, 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 because that's just a practical thing that when you, and let me be a psychology nerd for a minute here, but there's this whole thing in like neurology where they talk about how like your brain forms paths in your mind when, or a groove when you've practiced something a couple of times is easy. So for example, one practical tip through my class that I talk with my students is whenever they practice their interview questions and responses ahead of time, they can flow a little bit more confidently and comfortably in the interview and not do a lot of ahs or ums or have those pauses. So that's just one practical thing that I'll throw out there. But stepping back a bit, because that's a big thing, the interview process, really understanding it and putting yourself in the power position is a key thing. So think about it, the employers are like the gatekeeper. So the interviewer is the gatekeeper, right? They really care about their organization. So we would say that here about the Leonard Center, we really care about letting in great people who can support the mission of the Leonard Center. And so for the person who's the gatekeeper, they're a little bit at a disadvantage because they don't know who's who. However, I can speak for a lot of my students, as I've shared with them in class, you know yourself and you know your strengths, you know your intentions, you know what you're capable of. So you can exercise that power and speak confidently to say, hey, I don't know about the other people interviewing for this job, but I can assure you, here are my strengths, here are my interests, here's what I can do for you. So I'm helping you make an informed decision. It sounds silly, but help them make a choice, help them help you in essence. So preparing through understanding your strengths, understanding your skills, understanding your future goals and how you support the company's mission is a great way to prepare for the interview. And then practice. Practice with a friend. The Center for Culinary and Career has resources as well for interview or mock interview practice as well. And any faculty or staff would be happy to just hang out with someone and practice some interview questions.
And I'll flip sides here for just a minute. One of the things that I hold very dear to in the interview process is if a person gets up from the chair, right, mm-hmm. or when they get up from the chair and they get ready to leave the interview, if they don't slide the chair back under the table, it's a huge indicator to me that they don't have attention to detail.
Mm. All right, you guys heard that. If you're looking for a job at the Leonard Center, push in your chair in your interview.
Push in your chair, right? So, yeah, and I think, too, you know, we're nearing the end of the episode, Golden, but I think it would be helpful to ask one more question and give us an insight on, you know, what are employers actually looking for? Now, here's this idea, right? So you're getting out of college and, you know, you should be able to go to this wonderful career immediately with, you know, any number of zeros you want after the, you know, to list your amount of income, all of that. give us some reality in life. What are employers really looking for from the college students, and what do college students need to be, need to know when they get ready to enter the workforce to make sure this is a win-win for them?
Oh, absolutely. That's a fantastic question. I came with my handy-dandy guide here.
There you go.
So a little quick story.
And we'll post this guide, by the way, on the show notes.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So there's this organization called the National Association for Colleges and Employers. So it brings together employers, recruiters, hiring managers, and college career coaches, college career services professionals. And so they sort of set the standard and have a lot of resources and information to support college students getting career ready. So a while back, a couple years ago, the colleges had asked the employers, can you please tell us what are the top five things you look for in recent college grads that make them career ready? And we were pleasantly surprised that the employers responded with eight. Mm. So these are the eight things. And I think every time I've shared this with students, just generally or in my class, they're actually surprised to see how so many of it includes what we might think of as soft skills. So there are things like leadership, teamwork and collaboration, communication skills, career management, critical thinking, problem solving, and global or intercultural fluency. So it reminds me too that students can take pride in their educational experience here at Lee, because a lot of these are sort of reflected in our service opportunities. It lets us build some of these skills. Our global perspectives, intercultural travel abroad program lets us touch on a lot of these skills too. So it's great to be affirmed that, wow, we have what it takes. So every Lee student, through their major, through their journey, through our programs that support it, have these skills to get them career ready. So being able to understand these and communicate these effectively on the resume, cover letter, and in the interview really proves to an employer that this student or candidate is career ready.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we know if it's a Lee student on our campus, they know how to find you, but we have listeners in 38 countries around the globe, right? Mm. So, and hopefully some from Nigeria. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, how do they get you? You got an email people can get a hold of you at?
Yes.
Is there a particular website link that they can go to get some more information from this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they can reference the Lee University website. It has the Center for Student Success and the Center for Calling and Careers segments of the website have our contact information. And then they can reach me by email, at gmadume@leeuniversity.edu. It's a great email for me, and I'll be happy to write back.
Well, I'm sure this will not be your only podcast, but I'm glad we happened to have you as a guest on your first. And so thank you for joining us, Golden and Christian. We're nearing the end of, now we won't even talk about that. But
Let's not get sad at the end of this.
Not at all. All right, guys. Remember, as always on Servcast, we want to challenge you and remind you that you're made for more. You've got a contribution to give to someone else in the world. So why not go ahead and try it today? Until next time, have a great day.